culture today, pride is seen as a virtue. We're proud of our work, we're proud of our skills, we're proud of our talents, we're proud of our children, proud of our grandkids, proud of each other. And so, speaking outside of Christianity, pride has a place in all of those things. Now, as the believer, our attitude is, I'm proud of the part of my life that Christ has transformed. But my pride is in him. I'm proud of the work that he did and proud of the work that he continues to do. Because I couldn't save myself. I couldn't make myself a better person. That's pretty shallow. But pride is seen a virtue. Be proud of your heritage, we're told. Be proud of who you are. And so in contrast to that, the Bible says that God hates a proud look. What does this mean? Well, a proud look speaks of a person who would want his or her will above the will of God and the will of others. So here, this is the Christian's part, from the Christian perspective, of how we should realize how risky that is. And it speaks of people who are arrogant and full of themselves. Full of other things too, probably. You might be thinking of certain ones, but we won't go there. That's why people's eyes are brown. Pride was the first sin ever committed. Did you know that? That's recorded? Even before Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, the sin of pride was committed by Lucifer. He wasn't satisfied to be an angel serving the Lord. He wanted to be God, and God banished him because of his pride. So any time that we allow ourselves to get into pride or looking down on others and thinking that we're better than somebody else, you know who we're imitating? It's not Christ, is it? It's the other guy with the horns. If he has them, I don't know. But that's who it goes back to. So that's why it's one of the things that God is very, very, the word says he hates those things, because it's the absolute opposite of who Christ is. And that's why as we go through these, you're going to see that reference going back. That's why God takes that so serious, is because it's everything exactly opposite of his own son. And his children now in the Lord that are born again, filled with his spirit. We carry his presence everywhere we go. So every time we allow ourselves, we lose control of our mouths. And I'm saying our because I know at least one or two of you have had a kite moment and maybe said some things you wished you could have taken back and take your pillow up on top of Mount Washington and rip it open and then try to catch all the feathers. It's once it's out there, it's really hard to take that back. And so this was a really good reminder. It reinforced why this is important, because we all have a flesh side. We have feelings. We have emotions. And sometimes those can rise up if we allow them to and take control. And it's not always a good thing. A lying tongue. This is the second of the hateful things, a tongue speaking falsehood, knowingly and willingly, with an intention to deceive others, to hurt the character of a neighbor, or to flatter a friend, is the most detestable evil. It ought to not be so to men, it must be so to God, who is a God of truth. Nor is there anything in which a man more resembles the devil, who is the father of lies. So, I've exaggerated more than once. That's not something that I'm proud to tell you. But it's true. And it's borderline. But it always comes back to when we allow ourselves to get out of who we really are in Christ. And we just get into the earth suit kind of mentality and thinking, we're subject to allowing other people to provoke us, or and we respond back. It damages the character of the Christ-like person that we really are. So these are some of the reasons to counteract that. It's just, I didn't ever really see how all of these things go back to resembling the one that lost his place in heaven over that, and that was Satan himself. So that's why we need to be the light, the shining light on a hill. And these are things that people will see in our character if we don't do something about it when it surfaces and make sure that we confess that and get it under the blood of Jesus straight away, because we can sit in that framework all day. Some people have pity parties that last 3 days. And they say things that we shouldn't say. And I'll do one more, and then after Huggy Break and the rest of the music and all that's yet to happen, I'll come back and we'll look at the other four. Hands that shed innocent blood. Oh, gosh. I think of, this is just a Rick thought, okay? I think of all the innocent babies that have been murdered in the womb. What crime have they committed? What hurt did they do? What harm did they do to other people? Human blood, and that of persons who have not been guilty of any capital sin, for which they ought to die by the laws of God or men, and yet shed or poured out as common water, such hands must be defiled and such men must be hateful to God. They are destroying his image. God created life. And through a lot of ways, but that way in particular, it's destroying the very image of life that he created for each of us to have. And being like the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning, these three sins that we just talked about, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, are plainly be seen in the son of Belial, the Antichrist, who exalts himself above all that is called God, the kings and princes of the earth. He and his followers speak lies and hypocrisy, and is the whore that is drunk with the blood of the saints. You'll read that almost verbatim in Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. So we can probably come into a very good agreement that as believers, this isn't where our heart is today. Because of the wonderful grace and the saving of our souls and God giving us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, the Spirit of hope and truth and love and revelation and understanding, and also the Spirit that empowers us to make wiser choices, not only with our words but with our actions, because it's like we all live on a stage and all the floodlights are on. I picture each one of us everywhere we go. There are people who know us that watch us to see how long they can observe us before we slip up and then we're accused. We really are like that, the pheasant under the glass. You know, people are just waiting to see us take a fall as a reason to say, oh, I knew you were nothing. I knew us all a bunch of hooey. You know, and that's why this is serious, because we represent, and it's who we represent, the kingdom. And I'm not talking about Jehovah Witnesses' kingdom. I'm talking about Jehovah our God and Jesus our Lord and Savior, his kingdom. And we're part of his kingdom here on this earth for the time we're living here. So it's just some things to ponder, things to think about. And I also know that there's a couple among us this morning who have brought a special song today. And maybe it'll be more joyous than the words that I just spoke. I try to break it as easy as I can, but I can't run from these things when the Spirit gives me some things to say that they are truly, they're not always easy to do. But I'd rather be obedient and speak that than to just not, because I don't want to just be pleasing to you. I want to please the Lord first. And If there's room for us to change in that area, praise the Lord.